Second, I'll just do an announcement, yeah?
Okay, yeah.
Second, just switch everything on. Welcome back, Shalom Aleichem. Torahway, Northwest London, Sunday, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, the 1st of May. Odayin Dovid Badil, halachic topic. Have you decided what it is?
How long do I still have?
No, just for the announcement.
Subject. Oh, no, we'll discuss about...
Okay, listen to the shir and you'll hear what it's about.
Okay.
Wiesenfeld, Yanky Wiesenfeld.
Okay, Yashir Kalef of Yanky. The shir is also Lena Nishmas. My father, Zecharin Nimrocha, who was also... Often he was here, part of the... Chabura.
Active participant.
Yeah, indeed. Lenin Nishmas Ravashi Yitzchak Ben Rav Chaim Kasriya. Okay, I'd like to just share with you a couple of ideas with regards to our law, which is in this week's forthcoming parasha, Parashas Kedoshim. So the Torah says we're well versed in the dinim of our law, and I'll tell you why in a moment. I'll explain as to why. It's one of the exceptions to any other mitzvah of Chayves Karka. All mitzvahs of Chayves Karka to do with the Karka, to do with the ground, are only Negea to Eretz Yisrael. Right? It only pertains to Eretz Yisrael. Whilst Orla is the exception that it applies to Chutz La'aretz too. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, Amadom Namad Zayin, it's Aloch El Moshe Sinai, that it applies to Chutz La'aretz too. The Din of Orla applies to Chutz La'aretz too. Now, without going into too much the detail, the reasons of our law, but generally it's either 3 years or it can even be under 3 years. Under certain instances, it can even be 2 years and 44 days. But there's a din that it's also Bahano, the din of our law, it's forbidden Bahano. Ramban says the reason is because the Kodesh Hilulim, to praise the Rabbeinu Shlom in the 4th year, so nothing should be, you shouldn't partake of the fruit until such time that you've been mahalal the Rabbeinu Shlom, similar to that of Bikurim, that one shouldn't partake of the food until such time. The only thing is that even after the 4th year, one still, even when the 4th year actually arrives, one still can't be nene from the fruits of the first 3 years. So that's the shaila that they ask. Rav Hirsch, he points out that the Issa of Arna is based on the Gemara. The Gemara says in Beitza Chofei Amud Beis that Natiya Mekatar Agleihim the Kitzvayo the Berlin Nidas, which means basically it's teaching us self-control, restraint, that we don't just grab and devour fruit that's growing. We wait patiently, and it's teaching us self-control. Like the Gemara says there that the Kitzvayo, the butchers, they used to go ahead and just take the animal and consume it even before the skinning of the animal. So, and by the nidus, for sure we understand. So that's the Gemara saying that the Tia teaches us this lesson. But in any event, our law is negea both in Eretz Yisrael and even in Chutz La'aretz, as we explained. The only thing is that one needs to be aware of the fact that in Chutz La'aretz, any Sofek Arna would be fine. The Gemara says, Kach Nemra Halacha, the Halacha Moshe Mesinai itself tells us that Vadai is forbidden and Sveika is Mutter. Vadai Mutter and Sveika is Mutter. The Gemara even brings a very extreme example of Sofek, Sapek Liva No Eichel, which means that even just bring it out to the field without him seeing the actual fruit of Arna, then it would be okay in Chutz La'aretz, in Bovel. That means, so long as you don't actually see, it's not glaring in front of you, it would be Mutter. But, Sapek Liva No Eichel isn't quite La'alocha, but in any event, I'm just showing that even any type of, any kind of Sapek would qualify in Chutz La'aretz to be Mekal. And that's the kula for us, here in Chutz La'aretz, that any Sapek Arna, it's always a Sapek, although there are many of the fruits, maybe Arna, but nonetheless, we can be Mekel because it's Sofek. And any Sofek in Chutz La'aretz would be permitted. The only thing is in Eretz Yisrael, there it's not so. There, even a Sofek is forbidden. And that brings to mind the question that, you know, often one is holiday in a certain place in Eretz Yisrael, but there's no reliable Hechsher. So people think that, okay, Trumas and Maisras, I can re-Maiser, I can take Maiser again in case you can't, you know, if you can't rely on the Hechsher. So you can take Trumas and Maisras again. And then everything is fine. But we don't realize that there's also the issue of Orla, that some of the fruits may be Orla, and it's forbidden by Orla. It's forbidden by Orla. Now we're not talking about this year, and the year after, there's a problem Bechlau, that you're reliant on the Hetemachir because of Shmias, but without going into that, any regular fruit during your regular year, the fourth year of Shemitah, so then, if you're going up north somewhere in Eretz Yisrael and you're buying fruits without any reliable Hechsher whatsoever, so then you can do your Trumas and Maaseros, no problem. But what's with the Orla? That's a shaila that one needs to discuss.
Sorry, does that mean that you can never buy any fruit? Oh. Any fruit anywhere because it might be a Sofik Orla?
According to the shaila, yeah. So in Chutz Laaretz you'd be okay.
Yeah.
You know,
you can never buy anything anywhere.
Yeah.
All the year round.
You can't take
What do you mean you can take?
No.
Arlo is something which is forbidden and never becomes mutter. Like
practically, are there fruits which are less Arlo?
They are fruit, yeah. So then I'll explain. You know, that's very interesting. In Chutz Laaretz, we don't have a problem. We have a safety net. Because, for instance, the Chidor brings from the Derech HaMelech that says that with regard to Choman Sha'amol of Pesach, now, during this time, even if you know that something is a particular product, it's Choman Sha'amol of Pesach, Be'isa, it wasn't sold, and it's definitely Choman Sha'amol of Pesach, so Derech HaMelech says one can be Mekel, just like in the case of Arna, it's a Sofek, and therefore you don't need to tell the person that it's Choman Sha'amol of Pesach. You yourself wouldn't be able to have it, but you can give it. But someone else can partake of it, you don't need to turn it. But then the Chidor says for sure that's not the case. It's only in the case of Orlo, there is a very big kula in Chutz Laaretz, as we said that the Sofek Orlo is Mutter, but that doesn't apply to any other Yisurim. If you know something is forbidden, then you cannot go ahead and allow someone else to have it if you know that this is Choman Shemal of Pesach. But in the case of Orlo, you'd be able to, because due to the fact that in Chutz Laaretz it's very kill. Any shadow of a doubt, or even if, so long as for you yourself, you don't know that it's Arno, then it would be Mutter. But that's all with Chutz Laaretz. But when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, then it's actually any Sofek is forbidden, as you say. So that's something which we must deal with. So the Berek Abayis in the Beis Yosef, in Reish Tzadidamad, he already discusses it, and he talks about, in times gone by, there used to be certain fruits from the Arabs that they used to graft, and if you're grafting a fruit, then that too, those shoots become are subject to the Isavana. So that too would be forbidden to have. So Beis Yosef says you don't need to worry, because at the worst, Arna is bottle the achas masayim, which means that if there are 200 and there's one in 200, then it'll be bottle. So he says for sure the fruit that you see on the market is only half a percent of Arna. And therefore you don't need to worry, it's bottle. That's what the Beis Yosef says. The only question is that today it's far more developed. And often they even have this grafting that goes on, and besides that there's also they take a shtil, that means a small plant in bags, and then they move the bags from one place to the other, and often it could well be that you have to start counting again the years of Arna, which makes a situation where you have many, many fruits that are subject to the Issa, that are under the Issa of Arna. So what do we do? As we said, like you said, most of the fruits on the market in Eretz Yisrael you wouldn't be able to have. So that brings us to the din of bittul and the din of kavua, called the parish merubah parish. So just to explain briefly the dynamics here, that, you know, we're all familiar with the din of bittul barayif. There's a din that something you have an issa beheta, an issa that falls into a heta, then the issa is bottle in the heta. And the whole taruvas, the whole mixture becomes mutter. Then there's a din of kavua. Now, kavua means that if you have the famous case of the Gemara, it's the case of Teish Chalayas, Gemara Ksuvas, and you have nine shops, Gemara Psochim also, there it's discussed that you have nine shops, nine of them are selling treif, one kosher. So the Gemara says, if you don't know from where you took it, if you went into the shop and you actually bought that meat, and you don't know from where it came from, you don't know which shop, then the halacha is a kol kavua kemechza mechza domi. Kol kavua kemechza mechza domi, and which means that it's half and half, half and half, which means basically that it's a sofek and you have to be machmir. You have to be machmir. Sofek d'rais l'chumra. Sofek d'rais l'chumra. Anytime, even if it's nine shops selling kosher meat and one treif, because you went into the shop and you took the meat, therefore now you're in doubt where you took it from, you didn't check out the way you should have, so then in that case you have to be machmir and you cannot use that meat. So Toises and Chulin Tzalihei, Toises already asks, and what's happened to the Din Bittel Baroyev? Why is there no Din Bittel in such a case? So Toises gives a very fundamental principle, the chiluk between Bittel and why in the case of Kavua you don't say Bittel. In the case of Bittel, we're talking about, it's a question how to understand the Toises, but normally we're dealing with a tarubas. We're dealing with a mixture, and in that mixture you have the issa that falls into the heta, into your tarubas. So for example, for instance, you have your meat and your various pieces of meat, and then you have a tray piece of meat that goes into this pot of meat that you have, and we're talking about if it's yovesh bin yovesh and it's chad betray, then it'll be bottle. That means if it's actually one piece of treif in the midst of two pieces of kosher, then it'll be bottle. If it's min b'minai, then it'll be bottle. That'll be bottle. That's a din in kuftes. Now, how does that work? So again, there is a machnoik rishonim as to how to understand it, but according to the Rosh, certainly the din is that it's actually nefach leheta. The isl is nefach leheta, meaning the whole thing becomes mutter, including that treif piece of meat. The Shulchan Aruch says that one person shouldn't have all three pieces of meat. Yeah, because the Shulchan Aruch could be, he understood that it's more a case of haloich acharoiv, it's not actually nefach leheta, it's a din that probability, you don't know which one is mutter, which one is asur. Chances are, due to the fact that two out of the three are kosher, so when you're picking up a piece of meat, mistomi, you're picking up the kosher meat. That's a din of halaych acharoi. Halaych acharoi. According to the Rosh says it's actually nefach leheta. That means it becomes heta. According to the Pashta says it's actually nefach leheta. And it changes. That means it becomes mutter. It becomes mutter. Instead of, up until now, it was an issa piece of meat, but due to the fact that it fell into a tarubas, it becomes mutter. It's nefach leheta. Yeah, the reason why I'm mentioning the two different ways of understanding it, either haloich acharoiv or nefach leheta. So one nafkamina would be, as we said, that are you supposed to, can you go ahead and eat all three of them? That would be nafkamina. It's nefach leheta, you can have all three of them. And the Ramah actually says, that b'makom tzayach, then the b'yemev, you'd be okay. Right? Because the Ramah goes according to Rosh, it's nefach leheta. It actually changes to heta, and therefore you'd be able to have all three of them. But mitzad haloich acharoiv, if you're going to go after roiv, that means probability. Take on that the one that you're using, the one that you're taking now, consuming, is heter, then in that case, that would be, it shouldn't be one person having all three, maybe you should have to throw out one, but then you have certain restraints, because it hasn't changed, it hasn't transformed into heter. And there'd be another nafkamina would be, there's a well-known Arisameach. Arisameach discusses a case where you have matzahs, just come away from Pesach, you have matzahs which were baked nishma, and you have one matzah which was baked shnei nishma, and it fell into this mixture of your matzahs, into these matzahs that you have in front of you. So they're all nishma, except one matzah that was shnei nishma, and it went into these matzahs. It fell into these matzahs. So now, can I go ahead and have this tarubas? So the Arisameach says that Bittel, there's a Reb Chaim that also says something similar. in the sugya topic Tot Mekayim. But the point is that Issa Nefach Leheta is something which is easier to do, because you can transform the Issa, take off the Issa, and allow it to become Heta. In the case of here, if you're going to want to have all the matzahs for your Seder night, when you're required to have the Lishma, then you have to make sure that all the matzahs are Lishma. So that means you have to actually add the din of Lishma to the matzah, so to speak. Correct?
Also,
basically,
I'm not
Yeah, I'm not talking about the chomet.
I know, but he also.
But if it's. I'm talking about the din of Lishma. So you have to be much in the din of Lishma. You have to make sure that each matzah is baked Lishma. So even if there may be a case of bittul, but nonetheless, you wouldn't be able to use the matzahs on the Seder night because you don't have all the matzahs baked Lishma. Oh, you have bittul. Bittul only takes away an issa, but it can't add dinim. It cannot add dinim. However, if you're going according to the Almanach of Haloicha Acharoyim, you're going according to the Roim, then you'd be okay even here, because most of the matzahs here were done Lishma, so you'd be able to have this matzah, or any matzah that fell in, the probability is that you're taking a matzah which would make Lishma. So those can be the nafkaminas. Now, when it comes to Kavua though, Kavua, there's for sure no bittul. There's for sure no bittul, and the reason is that because these shops are nikah, it's blatantly clear, we know which is a kosher shop, and we're standing in front of them, we know exactly which is a kosher shop and which is a trade shop. So in such a case, there's no bittul. There's no bittul in such a case. The only question is that if you took a piece of meat from one of the shops, and now you're at home, and you can't remember where you took it from, you can't recall where it comes from, so in that case, there's a probability. The probability that clicks in. Halaycha acharoyim. And in that case, the Torah says, because you went ahead and you went into the shop, and when you're at the threshold of the shop, clearly you can't go after roiv. Go check. You know, it makes no sense to go after roiv when you're at the threshold of the shop. If it's nikah, if it's clear, you know, there's a signpost, these are the kosher shops, these are the drape shops. So then clearly you can't go after roiv. It makes no sense to go after roiv in such a case. Likewise, even when I went ahead and bought the piece of meat from one of the shops, and now I come home, and I can't recall where it comes from, so the Torah is extending, the Torah says, here too, do not rely on probability. Do not rely on probability. Just like at the entrance of the shop, you're supposed to go ahead and be mavara, so likewise, when you come home, and now you just can't recall where it comes from, the Torah is extending, the Torah says, do not go after roiv. And that's a din of kol kavua, kemechza mechza. However,
it's like a child to the shop and he comes back.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a very good question. In the case of a child or a goy goes into the shop and he brings it home and now you don't know where it comes from. A goy doesn't have any nemonas, a child doesn't have nemonas, except for Yisur Deraisa.
You're talking where it's shaykh to be mavara?
Yeah.
Or it's not shaykh?
No, now at home you can no longer be mavara. But even so, we're extending that din kavua, that it applies because at the shop you should have been mavara. Let's say an adult that goes into the shop, a yid that goes into the shop, he ought to have been mavara. So therefore, it's something which you wouldn't be able to use probability at the time whilst you're in the shop. I'm explaining this is the way of Zan Lachen explained din of kavua. It just it brings it down to try and explain the din as to why the Torah is so machmir it's kemechts al mechts in such a case. Because when you're at the shop, then it's not, it's possible to be mavara, correct? So too, in such a case, it's already chal, the status of kavua, and you can no longer ever go according to probability. However, that's in the case where lokach mina kavua, let's talk about an adult, not a youngster, a lokach mina kavua, he went ahead and an adult that bought meat from a kavua, so in that case, there's no way that we can go according to probability. However, in a case where it's nimtza, let me say aloich acharoyim. That means even though if I see the kid, let's say I allow the kid to go and buy the piece of meat, but I'm standing there, that's pirish lefaneinu. According to many Rishonim, that's actually the rice that also goes under the status of kavua. But if it's a case where it's nimtza, which means it's a case where I'm finding the piece of meat now, I had no suffix till now, because the non-Jewish person brought it, the maid brought it home, you know, from South Africa, land of maids. So the maid brought the piece of meat, and she brought it home, and now I don't know where she took it from. In such a case, the suffix is only noilad now. Now I have a suffix which I ought to be mavar. In such a case, there's no din of kavur. Why? Because up until now, there was no suffix. For the goy, there was no suffix. Because she's a goyta, she can have trach meat. If it's eim manachayna, it's something different. If it's negeir to her. But if it's not negeir to her, then she had no suffix. When does the suffix start? Only now. When are we supposed to now start being mavar of the suffix? Only now. When it's pirish. So now it's a state of pirish, and in such a case, you're able to use your probability and go after right.
Why don't we say that he should have made sure that the goy keeps a record, or that the meat is sealed, or something, so that the goy can bring her meat that I know where it come from?
Yeah.
Isn't that his obligation?
Not necessarily, because he doesn't... You mean if you tell the goy to buy the meat?
You should tell the goy where to go to buy the meat, and to bring it home, and to keep cheshbon, or it's labelled, or it's packed, or it's sealed.
Yeah, so does the goy, is it, you know, a kind of shlichus? If it's a shlich, then I can understand more. But in a case where it's just technically you're telling the goy to buy a piece of meat, then it's not necessarily on him to be mvara. Certainly, you know, unless he's a poyel, then perhaps you're right. If he's an employee of yours, then it could well be that there would be an inyan for him to be mvara. But otherwise, in general, the goy has no dinim. So he doesn't, there's no suffix for him buying it. For instance, the case of Vadi Yosef has a tshuva in Yabi Aima, he talks about a case of kelim that require, we know the kelim of a goy require tvina. Here, you have some factories, albeit most factories are non-Jewish, but there are some factories that are Jewish owned, correct? And what do we say in such a case? They don't require tvina. So why do we say that anyone that buys a keli in Chutz Laretz, you're supposed to be toil with a bracha? One moment, it may be a case of kavua, and in a case of kavua, it's mechza on mechza. That means you don't go according to your probability of going after right. It's the same type of shayna. But again, if it's a case where by the time it gets to your hands, it was, you know, it was a chain of events, you didn't actually go to the factory, then in such a case that would be nimtza, and then you go after right, and you have the right to use our probability, and right companies are non-Jewish owned, and therefore you'd be able to make a brocha on a tvina, on the tvina's kenim, even with you'd be able to make a brocha, due to the fact that it's understood that it was probably bought from a non-Jewish source. So now, when we come to a case of our case of Arna. So in the case of Arna, the Mishnah says clearly, Arna is considered kavua. When it's in the orchard, then it stands there, and you're able to be makid in the tears of Arna. You can see it's a young budding tree. So in such a case, certainly it's a din of kavua, and you will not be able to use probability. So even if you've taken a fruit and now you come home, you don't know whether it's from the olive tree or not from the olive tree, you have to be machmir. Again, in Chutz Laretz you'd be okay. Some say in Chutz Laretz, even if there's a prelate, you must suffix whether there's a din of arna. For example, papaya. There are certain spakers and certain trees whether there's arna. So in Chutz Laretz you can also be making because it's a suffix. But in Eretz Yisrael, there you'd have to be machmir. You wouldn't be able to go according to your probability. However, what would be if a goy, an Arab, cuts a tree? Is it negair for him, the dinam of Arna? No. The din, that's like the case of the maid buying a piece of meat. It's not no suffix for him or for her. So maina in such a case, once we only start the suffix later on, then you'd go according to probability, you'd go according to right. And in such a case, right fruits, I think I like to think, even if there's much Arna in the shuk, there's plenty of arna, but certainly most fruits, majority of fruits, are not arna. In fact, the Ramban says that it's unhealthy. He says it can be mazik to have a very young fruit. He says it can be, maybe today they maybe kind of try to override it, but in any event, many of the fruits don't even grow properly until after 2-3 years. So most of the fruits in the market are certainly not arna. So maybe we do have a right. If a goy is the one that's like at the fruit, then in such a case, you'd be able to have the fruits, because when you come here, when we come to the shop, by the time we start buying it from the shop, then certainly it's already a case of Pirish, and you'd go after Roy. You'd go after Roy. So, the only question is that often the workers who actually harvest the fruit, they are secular Jews, they're not necessarily going. So what would you say in a case where a secular Jew harvests the fruit? So in that case, would you say a din of kavua, or meaning it's like a case where you yourself have gone to buy the fruit or harvest the fruit, or is it a case like where the goy takes it and it's only a sofek when you actually when it comes to your table or when it comes to the shop? What would you say in a case where a secular Jew harvests the fruit? So that's the big shayla. The translations were super about it. The argument as to why it's worse in the case of a goy is due to the fact because there is negeir to him. It's very much negeir to him. We know that there's a din arna to a secular Jew just as well as up to us. And therefore, accordingly, the sofek should be there's later sasofek, even at the time when he actually, when he harvests the fruit. He just doesn't care about it, sadly. But nonetheless, really, it is a case of kavua. It's a Jewish person taking the fruit.
When he harvests the fruit, it's usually not fully ripe. So he could never have eaten it.
So you mean it's not for eating now?
At the time, yeah. You know, when you harvest fruit, it's never fully ripe. You give time so that by the time it arrives at the market,
yeah,
maybe it's half ripe by then.
So you mean there's no, it's not ready for eating?
He couldn't have eaten it. Even though he has a right to eat while he's working, he can't eat this fruit because it's not royal achila.
Is that the case? It only ripens later?
I think
do they harvest the fruit?
I think all fruits are like that, otherwise they'd be rotten by the time they reach the market.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
So that could be a,
like
a good argument.
Bananas are completely green, you know. You buy them in the shops green sometimes.
See, that, that's true. But is it, does that apply to all fruits?
But does it help?
No, because then Yanki is saying it's a good argument, because then you're saying that it's not ready to be eaten now. Yeah. So I don't have a case of suffolk really. There's no reason to start being mistopic as to whether it's arna. You mean arna you should really just burn right away. You're not supposed to harvest it and start taking it to the market. You shouldn't be nana at all from arna. You shouldn't be nana at all from arna. So often, Zal Nechem used to say the following, Zal Nechem Goldberg, he used to say that when you're at the field, and even if it's a secular Jew that's harvesting, but nonetheless he probably would know which ones are and which ones aren't. So, however strange it may be, but he actually has no sofek to him. He knows which is and which isn't. So, Mela, there's no Nedas sofek there. When does the Nedas sofek only start? Only much later. So, Mela, accordingly, by that time, it's already Pirish, and then you, once again, you'd be able to be reliant on the right, called the Parishan from Parish and our probability. Then you'd be able to have a status where it's Pirish. Because by the time it comes to a case where there should be a doubt, then it's already much later, and it's often not even possible to remember where it's from. But at the time, then it's actually known which ones are Arla and which ones aren't. When it's in the shop, so often you're going to the shop, and you have to finish now. When it goes into the shop, and the seller will actually, he'll know that certain fruits may be arna. So now it's kavua once again. It's a status of kavua. Now you're buying it from him. But the answer is that here too, he's not neman. He's not believed. Right? He can't be believed which is arna, which isn't. And also, unfortunately, there are many ziyufim. There are many forgeries that go on in the marketplace. So one can't always know. And it's very difficult to be mevara. Accordingly, once again, when the fruit comes in front of you on the table, then once again, it's something where the latest asafik wasn't, it's not possible to be mevara beforehand, so it's not considered lokach min hakavua. It's only pirish. It's only now that we have this doubt, and we have to use our probability in order to be matirut. Even according, there is a machlokes about the Rebbe Chaim held that if one Yisrael takes from kavua, then it becomes kavua for everyone. And he says that anyone that says different is chasad there. He writes very sharp. But others, the Tuftam Adas is Chaylek, and says that not necessarily so. Rabbi Zalman writes that even if you do say that one Yisrael, even a secular Jew, would take it, and he is in doubt as to whether it's Arlan, we ought to be machmi, called to work, Metzah Metzah, even in such a case, that's only the owner. It's Mestama, that's only in a case where it's the owner that actually harvests the fruit, then it makes sense that it becomes a status of Kavua. But if it's just a worker that takes the fruit, and in such a case, it's not Mistaba that it becomes Kavua for everyone, that we can no longer use probability to be matzik it. So Meina, in such a case, and certainly as we said, in the shops there's certainly no matzav kavua, and therefore one would be able to, strictly speaking, even the Menachas Yitzchak, he writes at the end that, you know, if one can get to the Heksher Matov, if they can follow through, if the Marechet HaKashrut, if they can actually follow it through and check where the source is from, all the better. But even in the event where it's not possible, then in such a case, one could be reliant on the fact that it's called the Porish Meruba Porish. So long as the rive of the fruits on the market are actually, the majority of the fruits are non-arna, so it would be okay to say that your fruits would also be okay, and after you'd be mafish, shumas, and isis, you would be able to be maker. There are also other kulas, as Mishnah Melech has said, in the case of even today in Eretz Yisrael, just like Trumas and Maisel Ani Midrabanan, he says, oh, there's also Ani Midrabanan, which is the big Kiddush. But nonetheless, also it could be that it's from certain areas which aren't necessarily Eretz Yisrael. You know, the fruit could be Israeli fruit, but it's not from Eretz Yisrael. So where possible, of course, one should try and be stringent to try and get from a reliable Heksher, but if not, then there's what to rely upon to allow to be reliant on called the Polish and the Polish.
Good.
You may be right, but if you